silence stretched again. Braun Lamia broke it.
Will you tell us who?
No.
Kassad rose and went to the stairway leading to the lower decks. Wait, called Father Hoyt. Kassad paused at the head of the stairway. Will you at least tell us two other things?
What?
Father Hoyt grimaced from a wave of pain. His gaunt face went white under its film of perspiration. He took a breath and said, First, do you think the Shrike, the woman, somehow wants to use you to start this terrible interstellar war you foresaw?
Yes.
Second, will you tell us what you plan to petition the Shrike for, or this Moneta, when you meet them on the pilgrimage? Kassad smiled for the first time. It was a thin smile, and very, very cold.
I will make no petition. I will ask nothing of them. When I meet them this time, I will kill them.
The other pilgrims did not speak or look at one another as Kassad went below. The Benares continued north-northeast into afternoon. 3. The barge Benares entered the river port of Naiad an hour before sunset. Crew and pilgrims pressed to the rail to stare at smoldering embers of what once had been a city of 20,000 people. Little remained. The famous riverfront inn, built in the days of Sad King Billy, had burned to the foundations. Its charred docks, piers, and screened balconies now collapsed into the shallows of the Hooghly. The custom house was a burned-out shell. The airship terminal on the north end of town survived only as a blackened hulk, its mooring tower reduced to a spire of charcoal. There was no sign whatsoever of the small riverfront Shrike temple. Worst of all, from the pilgrims' point of view, was the destruction of the Naiad River Station. The harness dock lay burned and sagging, the manta holding pens open to the river.
God damn it!
Said Martin Silenus.
Who did it? Asked Father Hoyt. The Shrike?
More likely the SDF, said the consul, although they may have been fighting the Shrike.
I can't believe this,
snapped Braun Lamia. She turned to A. Bedek, who had just joined them on the rear deck.
Didn't you know this had happened?
No,
said the android.
There has been no contact with any point north of the locks for more than a week.
Why the hell not? Even if this godforsaken world doesn't have a datasphere, don't you have a radio?
A. Bedek smiled slightly.
Yes, M. Lamia, there is radio, but the commsats are down. The microwave repeater stations at the Kala locks were destroyed, and we have no access to shortwave.
What about the mantas?
Asked Kassad.
Can we press on to the edge with the ones we have?
Bedek frowned.
We will have to, Colonel. But it is a crime. The two in harness will not recover from such a pull. With fresh mantas, we would have put into edge before dawn. With these two...
The android shrugged.
With luck, if the beasts survive, we will arrive by early afternoon.
The wind wagon will still be there, will it not?
Asked Het Mastin.
We must assume so,
said A. Bedek.
If you will excuse me, I will see to feeding the poor beasts we have. We should be underway again within the hour.
They saw no one in or near the ruins of Naiad. No rivercraft made their appearance above the city. An hour's pull northeast of the town, they entered the region where the forests and farms of the Lower Hooghly gave way to the undulating orange prairie south of the Sea of Grass. Occasionally, the consul would see the mud towers of architect ants, some of their serrated structures near the river reaching almost 10 meters in height. There was no sign of intact human habitation. The ferry at Betty's Ford was totally gone, with not even a tow rope or warming shack left to show where it had stood for almost 2 centuries. The River Runners Inn at Cave Point was dark and silent. A. Bettick and other crew members hallooed, but there was no response from the black cave mouth.